So it's a great way to just go in and get referrals. Now, before we move on to the, because we have a lot of stuff to talk about here at events, because this is a huge topic, but just so people know on the call, how do you set up a luncheon? You go into the restaurant, you say, hey, I want to back of the room, and then how does the luncheon go? Is it a 20-minute presentation, okay, here, an hour-long presentation?
Real, here's how we do it real quick. And you know, you call up the hotel, right? You get up, you want a private room.
Restaurant,
one is a door, I mean, the restaurant. You want a door that closes it. You can, okay. Then you have them set up, and you set the tables up. If 12 people say you're coming, you set the tables up for 8. If 20 people say they're coming, you set them up for 12. You can always add a table, and you talk to the wait staff ahead of time, and they know that. Especially when you develop a relationship over time. Mm-hmm. But so now, once that's happening, if you're going, you're either going to order from the menu or you're going to order buffet. We ask people to show up at 11:15. Tell them they'll be schmoozing till about noon. That way, people gather for 15 minutes, and we sign them on in. We sometimes give them name tags, sometimes don't. That depends on how, you know, on where we're doing the event and stuff. They're not essential at an Atlanta luncheon. And then, you know, we have people sitting usually in a horseshoe shape thing. And sometimes we use audio visual. We have, in one restaurant we got a big screen on built in already, so we like a place like that.
Right.
If you find places like that, sports bars, things like that, they're good for these. They lend themselves to it. So then if it's by buffet, we send them up to the buffet, we sit them down, and we start talking. If it's not by buffet, we take their orders, and then we start the presentation, then we cut it, and then come back and do the close of the presentation after the food served. Okay, now, first thing we do is have everyone just stand up and take a moment and introduce themselves. We've coached our associates, our distributors, not to go on and say, and I'm a such and such in the business, blah, blah, blah. We tell them, talk about your other business, talk about your background, you know.
Right.
So because we want everyone to see that people are coming from different walks of life and things like that. And then we go around and we introduce this area saying, listen, we want everyone to, you know, you can plug your business or whatever you want to do so people can network, and so there's a side benefit to everyone for being here,
right.
And we appreciate your being here, da-da-da-da. Then, once they go around and do that, if say we're, you know, I'll start the presentation or I'll introduce whoever's going to be the speaker. And again, you know, we just do the fundamentals of the presentation. If we're going to split the presentation in two, we'll do the intro, the company, and the service product, that kind of stuff. And then we'll stop and we'll come back and do how the money in the business works. If we're going to do it all in one, we'll go about 25 minutes.
Okay.
We don't want to have more than 25 minutes worth of presentation. We're going to be about an hour together. We want people to be talking to each other, getting to know each other. And our whole goal is that the people just have an enjoyable time and they get some information. You know, we've got the stories, we've got the success stories right built in already. We don't have to fabricate anything. You know, we've been able to make a tremendous amount of money with our network marketing business,
right.
You know. So it's a tremendous amount.
All right, so basically the whole event is done in less than an hour. So if a person, you know, they have a boss breathing down their neck, they say, I got to be back in an hour. They can literally get there, get the food, sit down, see the presentation, maybe ask a few questions or at least know where to get them answered, get out of there and get to work. In time,
right.
So their boss doesn't yell at them.
Right. And we always ought, I mean, again, and we always use that event. So we may in fact get some people signing up right then and there, but we're not as concerned about that, especially for most people. It's their first live exposure to us.
Right.
Okay? We want to use that event to drive it into our weekly event or our next special event that's coming up.
Now, before we go to the next event, I just got to say one more, you know, just touch on one more topic. A lot of times in this business, I see distributors try to go out there and they try to sponsor other distributors without creating a relationship. They're just, you know, they're trying to keep it as sanitized as possible. And I'm not going to tell you how to do the business, what's right or what's wrong. What I do know with Michael Melia is that you are a people person. People like you. You relate with them. You're a relationship guy. And I can see how these luncheons allow you to create a connection with all these prospects. So you're starting that relationship process. And now, at the end of the lunch, how do you build for the next event? Because at the end of every event, there's a key saying that you always say. How do you close every event? Building for the next event, right?
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
that's what you guys
well,
say.
We close out the luncheon, you know, just, you know, as we close out the presentation part of the luncheon, we build in the next event. Say, for example, it's one of our weekend fly-in showcases. Okay, we'll do a luncheon on Thursday, and I'll work on a team in that situation with, like, my brother, his fiance Kimberly, my son Willie, myself, Molly, and one or two other people, just my really close team, people really around me, and we'll come in and we'll build in long distance for it, and we'll, you know, And so we're building for that luncheon. We'll take that luncheon and we'll drive for the event the following night, the Friday evening showcase, where we've got the CEO and the COO coming in, three or four more of the top money earners coming in. So now if the people see an opportunity at all here, we don't have to get them to make a decision. Tell them, well, listen, if you see the possibility, wouldn't it just make sense to come on out and meet the CEO?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, holy mackerel, wouldn't that be great if you could, you know?
Right.
And of course, you know, the right people's eyes light up at that opportunity and the others don't see the value of it, and we're looking for those people. Now, as we do it, of course, you know, we're establishing a relationship with them, you know, I mean, and you just, you can't, I mean, you've got to do that, and it really simply is, when you meet people, you either like them or you don't like them.
Right.
Now, you're probably either the kind of person that likes people or the kind of people that doesn't like people. You know, and it's a good idea in that business to be the kind of people that like
And if you don't, work on that skill.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Dale Carnegie says in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, you know, he says, well, it goes like this. The whole book can be boiled down to the two words really is genuine interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just simply you cannot fake genuine interest.
Right.
So you've got to develop that desire to get to know people, to get to know what makes human beings tick. You
right.
know, what do people want? What do people need? And then you've got to have a real belief, obviously, in your own company, in your product that says, what I'm doing makes a difference. What I'm doing can make a difference in people's lives.
Right.
If you believe that, and that, you know, it helps if it's true, obviously, but if you believe it and you can convey that belief to other people, and then you can look and you can see what could be possible for them. Because we know this, you know this, is that, you know, sometimes, especially when you're first in the industry, you've got to borrow someone else's belief in you.
Mm-hmm.
That can happen, you know. Most people really don't have the belief in themselves. Another side benefit of the really big events, you know, like we talk about building from event to event. So I might, for example, meet you, say I met you at the gym, you know, a couple times chatted with you, something, played basketball with you, invited you to come to lunch, hear about what my company's doing. So you like what you heard, I invite you to come on back and hear the CEO coming into town the following week, or one of the top money earners. Even though I'm one of the top money earners, when I'm working with my prospects, I am edifying everybody else. Later on down the road, they find out I'm a big shot, you know, but I'd never tell them that
right.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's bad form and it's, you know,
right.
but besides that, you can better get away with telling other people's success stories. And as you share other people's stories and introduce them into that person, you know, and then down the road, you know, I mean, it matters. I mean, not everybody's one of the top money earners in their company, so you can't use the same story I use. But I will tell everyone to, you know, do this. Do exactly what I do. Use other people's stories. I mean, one of the hardest things I know for the brand new person is they you know, people turn around and say to them, yeah, well, how much money are you making?
Right.
And, of course, if you're brand new in a business, you can't be making that much money in the first 3, 6, 9, 12, 15 months even, unless you've got a tremendous amount of experience and understanding you bring to
right.
the business with you. So I know this, the very first year, it's your education in this industry. That very first year, you want to get to as many events as possible. My mentor in the business told me, listen, you know, you've got to come on. I need you for the first 52 weeks. I need to be at that weekly event every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we grew past that one weekly event and had 2 and 3 weekly meetings going on in the metropolitan New York area at the time.
Right.
But you're moving from event to event. So we'll go back. I might meet you, invite you to lunch, get you from lunch just out to the weekly meeting. Get you from the weekly meeting to the Super Saturday. It's over in the next city, maybe
right.
across the river. Maybe inconvenience you to go to a bigger event, but now you're seeing a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I might not even get you on, you know, down on paper during that lunch, and probably not. Maybe at the weekly event, but maybe I got to get you all the way over to hear the president of the company coming in 100 miles away that Saturday or the following Saturday, where you come on out, you know, maybe then I get you on a paper and you go to a training afterwards and you see the big picture.
Right.
Now, the bigger the event is, the easier it is for the person to see the big picture.
Sure.
You know, when our company goes out and does showcases around the country, we travel and we get into town a little bit before that and build for that showcase. Because if I brought you on out to like the Charlotte Convention Center with 3,000 people out there, you know, as your second exposure, you're going to go, wow, there's something going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That brings up another point. Like when I bring a brand new person, Sam, I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina for a while, and I bring a brand new person into the business there. They're there in Charlotte, and there's a great event that we've got every week, a great weekly meeting. But my goal, once they get on board, is to get them out of Charlotte and go somewhere else. You know, when I'm in Charlotte, I like to get them down to Atlanta. It's easy to get to. You know, it's a 4-hour, 3.5-hour drive. But again, I went down to Atlanta to see an event that's going to be even a bigger event. I want to get them into thinking that, wow, this is going on everywhere.
Right.
I want them to see just how big this thing is. If I can do that, well, now they're already in the business, but I've still got to sell them again and again and again and train them. And I consider this, I haven't finished my job as a sponsor until I've got them out to the company's quarterly event, their real big one. Mm-hmm. For some people, it might just be an annual event.
Right.
But until I got them to the event that the company runs, where there's anywhere, depending on the size of your company, from 3,000 to 20,000 people at this event, you know, that's when you know, they come to that event. If they're going to quit after they've come to one of those events, I've done my job.
It's out of your control, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, let me ask you this. Some people are sitting there at home listening, wow, you know what? I relate to the Michael Melia that was in the Geo Metro. I cannot relate to the Michael Melia that's sitting there with Art Jonak in Las Vegas right now. He's getting ready for a 6,000-person event, you know, in the next 2 or 3 days. He's got events around those events, which we'll talk about in a second. You're with your brother, Steve. You've got the Geo Metro. You find out, you go to a regional training, and the president of the company or, you know, your friend Jeff says, here are the three things. You hear the fact about the events. You don't have a lot of capital. You say, well, we're going to put together events. Let me ask you this. Do you say, first we find people, then we put an event together, or we build the event, we set a date, and the people will show up? How does that work?
Well, I mean, that's a really good question. I'll give you an example of it. I had a relatively young team in terms of size over in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And this, and they had maybe about 10 or 12 of them coming out to a weekly event. And I went on over there. I've probably been there maybe 3 times in the last 9 months, maybe 6 months. And when I go in is, number one, I'm coming in, I'm an out-of-town guest now, okay? So they're more like we were when we were in the Geo Metro.
Right.
It's a couple, African-American couple, real nice people, real good people. And they were plugging away, plugging away, plugging away, and their group just simply wasn't growing. Okay, but I came in and I said, okay, look, you know, I mean, I knew that commitment was there because they came out to the big events all the time, never missed them. And so you started, you know, I really wanted them to be successful. So we got together at the last big event. Now, here's a benefit of coming to those big events.
Right.
They were there. They came out to our breakout session. I said, okay, I'll go in and build with you. Now, when I went in like 4 months ago, you know, I'd go and do their weekly event. They had like 22 people. You know, then I went in like 3 months ago. They had like 52 people, and they were going out and building luncheons and having what we call private business receptions or home parties,
right,
home receptions with their new people and building them into a weekly event. And now, and then, so then we were there about 80 days ago or so. I said to them, listen, I'll tell you what, here's what we really need to have. And this is going to answer your question about how do we do it. In order for you really to arrive, I heard this story years ago, once again, from my buddy Jeff. And he said, listen, you know, when you can put 1,000 people in a room, you've arrived. So I said, let's set a goal. This was back in April, to have in October put 1,000 people in a room. And they said, okay. Now, here's what happens. You set the goal before you know the how.
Okay.
So you make the what first. What do we want to have? 1,000 people in a room. We put it out at least 90 days. In that case, we put it out about 120 days because we knew then we could build to it. So now we had a 120-day goal.
Okay.
Now we had to back up from that 120-day goal. It meant we had to be able to put about 400 people in a room by, say, mid-August.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting things happen. You don't always know how you're going to do something, right? Well, a few other people got worried that we wanted to do this, and they started banding together with the team there. And then the company saw some activity going there, and they decided to put some of their weight in behind them. And then all of a sudden, there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, just this past weekend, I was there, we had about 450 people out. So we're right on track for that 1,000. How do we get to 450? You know, it was a series of different things came together. But what do we lead with? We led with a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If there's one simple thing I brought from the seminar industry into my network marketing business that fits in with network marketing, but something I knew was just you have to have a vision. You have to know where you're going. So then, once you know where you're going, you start with the end in mind. You begin with the end in mind. You back up and you back up and you back up to where you are. Now, here's what we know about the network marketing industry. The most successful people run their business in 90-day cycles. What marks those cycles? One big event to the next big event.
Right.
Hopefully, your company runs those for you. If your company doesn't, What we did when that company didn't was we just started running them ourselves, and then good news for us, the company decided to jump on board and do it too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But I don't personally, you know, just from a leader's point of view, don't like to be without face-to-face contact with all my leaders at least once a quarter. Mm-hmm. Makes me nervous when it gets past 3.5 months. Don't know what's really going on
right.
out there, you know. Technology is such today that it's a lot easier to stay in contact, but still, I like to look people right in the eye.
Right.
You know, especially your leaders. Because, okay, now, going back to, like, how do we do it back in the Geo days, okay? We start, I mean, and again, because I know this, the biggest, I mean, when I saw people where I am years ago, I didn't know how we were going to get there. So once again, didn't know how we were going to get there, but here's what I trusted. I trusted if I followed the coaching that I got and I did the simple little things over and over and over again that didn't seem to make much difference in the doing, eventually that would hit momentum and hit massive growth, and we would grow and begin to duplicate. So in a network marketing business, it's tough. You know, it really is. I mean, because you go on out there, you build a team of 10 or 12 people, and half of them disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Take those half that do it, and you build them, and half of the first crew disappear, but you got some new people in. Now you're starting to get 3, 5, 7 levels down. Now, you always have to keep looking and seeing who's hot and go to work with the workers, but you've got to do it right up front. I mean, we used to drive in the Geo, and that's how we met each other, and I used to drive down to Charlottesville because I had 3 team members in Charlottesville. And we drive down there, and we give our team members a reason to go on out and invite as many people on over. And we were brand new. I mean, I remember one time we did an event together out in Virginia. I think it was Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach, yeah.
Right? When
Founders Inn.
Linder, right?
Yeah.
We had a whole bunch of people. And there I was, you know, I was, you know, 4 months in network marketing training from the front of the room. But, of course, it was a brand new company. Someone had to do it. But, again, you know, we're building from, we'll go back to the 90-day cycle. We start at one big event, and you have the next big event. That's your 90-day cycle. Then you've got a monthly cycle of events. Usually has to be at least one Super Saturday-style training event. And I like, you know, I pretty much, you know, work every Saturday, just in a different market now. But when you're starting, you build your backyard. You build your backyard till it sprouts out of your backyard. And hopefully it sprouts out of your backyard in a way that's affordable for you to travel to that place.
Right.
Okay? So we used to drive the Geo up and down to, you know, the New Jersey Turnpike down to Virginia. Stay in Virginia 5 or 6 days, go back to New Jersey. Go back and forth, back and forth. And the whole first year in the business, I only got on an airplane maybe 2 or 3 times.
Right.
So I was leveraging everything. We drove to Boston. We even drove to Chicago for a conference once, because in those beginning days, we didn't have them. It was either drive to Chicago or my kids didn't get any Christmas presents that year. Because the money wasn't, you know,
right.
the where it is today. But again, for everybody listening, I mean, we pay a price in our business. And that is the key. The key is, are you willing to pay the price early on? Now, you know, I was in more desperate straits than most people, and I think that maybe that was good. I don't recommend it to people. I mean, we were broke. You know, we regularly had more month left at the end of the money, even into our third year in network marketing. You know, we were still not really growing and not really doing it. Really, you know, and I knew this. It goes right back to Jeff again. He said, look, you know, it takes about 5 years to be successful in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
It goes, it takes about, you know, it takes the rest of your life to fail.
Right.
I remember that saying. Went, whoa, you know, that got under my skin. And we just, you know, we studied with Jim Rohn, one of the great teachers of network marketers and business philosophers of all time. We took that information and we drilled it into ourselves all the time, and we stayed immersed in what we called SSMA, short-term, speedy, massive action, and just going on out there and running as many of events as we can in between that 90-day cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, back in those early days, though, it would just be like, it'd be New York, Long Island, Rockland County, New Jersey, just right in there. Then we sprouted out to Richmond. Then we sprouted down to Florida. And all of a sudden, it started sprouting, you know, like the sprouts had sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
And now we started opening up more and more cities. And Steve and I literally would sit down with that people in every different, wherever we went, have them make a list of where else they'd like to have a business.
Mm-hmm.
Make them 10, we told everyone, have 10 cities. And then, you know, I even have, like, on my business card, 7 cities printed.
Right.
And when I first printed those 7 cities, I only had business in 3 of them. Now I have business in all 7 of them.
Excellent.
Subconscious mind, you know, who knows? I mean, but I believe in that type of element right there.